Isaiah's prophecy from long ago. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Loving God, we praise you that all the waiting time is now over and that the joy of Christmas is with us. That we can celebrate your faithfulness in fulfilling your promises of old, that you would send a child to be a saviour to all people. We praise you for everything Jesus means to us. The message of his birth in Bethlehem, that you were willing to send your son from the heights of heaven to be a helpless human baby born to a young woman in a humble stable. The knowledge that he is Emmanuel, God with us, someone who knows all the ups and downs of human life and understands our joys and our sorrows. In everything he said and did throughout his life on earth, just what your love is like, and taught us how to live in ways that show that love. His death on the cross to save us from our sins, his rising again to give us hope, his living presence with us now and forever, guiding, comforting, strengthening. We praise you for the truth in the wonderful Bible stories about Christmas, that there is no one outside your love, that you gave your son because you loved the whole world, that you want to bring light to every dark corner. Loving God, you guided shepherds and wise men to Bethlehem, offering a light for their path. And you offer us guidance in so many ways, through the light of your word, the presence of your Holy Spirit, the fellowship of your church, the encounter of prayer. Forgive us when we either fail to hear or refuse to see. Forgive us our foolishness, our stubbornness, our lack of faith. Help us to recognize the signs through which you speak to us and bring us closer to you. We pray together now in the words which our Savior Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many people get their Christmas tree decorations out every year? Not everybody changes their theme colour and buys new things every year. I'm quite glad about that. And the church is no different. You know, these things are packed away very carefully after Christmas. We have a lady in our congregation who wraps them all up carefully in tissue paper, takes home the ones that are a bit damaged and repairs them. And between her and me, we decide which ones are really past it and have to go, because some things do get damaged. How many people here are less than 15 years old? Yes, there are a few. How many people were not here in as part of Liberton Kirk 15 years ago? Oh, a few more, yes, quite a few. Now, This is especially for you, but it's also for all the other people who can't remember what happened 15 years ago. But that was the millennium when it became 2000, and we were doing special things for that year. And we decided we would have a different sort of Christmas tree. So the lights that we'd had for years and that would never work when we first put them together, they went and we got new white lights. And all the decorations were new, and that's what I want to talk about a bit this morning, because they were special. We have a Christmas tree. Do you know why we have a Christmas tree? Why it's important to have a Christmas tree? What does that tree in itself tell us? What sort of a tree is it? It's an evergreen tree. So what does that tell us about God's love? It tells us God's love is evergreen. It is always there for us. So that's why we have an evergreen tree. Now, you'll notice that everything on there is two colors. What colors can you see? White and gold. That's right. We have white things, and they stand for purity, and that's because God is holy. And we have gold things for power, because God is mighty. So that's the two things that they tell us about God. Now, when we decorated this tree, we asked everybody in the congregation if they'd like to do things for it. And all the Sunday clubs did things. Even the baby bees made, I remember them making shepherd's crooks out of pipe cleaners, and the bumblers and the others, which is the other one? Super bees. They made different things, some of which are still there. So I wondered if one or two of the children would like to come up and tell me what they can find on that tree. Is anybody going to come up? No, right. I'm just going to look myself. We've got angels. We've got stars. I'm looking for things related to the Christmas story. We've got a king up there, a gold king, was cut out by one of the Sunday clubs. More angels. But there are lots of other things as well. They're not just things about the Christmas story. There are things about Jesus later on. So we have, that's a wee shepherd. But we have one here that has a cross on it, which reminds us that Jesus died for us on the cross. We've got a few more crosses. Another cross here. We have a butterfly in that star, which reminds us that Jesus rose from the dead at Easter. What else can you see up there? What have we got here? We've got a dove. Now that could mean one of two things. It could remind us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, or it could remind us about the Holy Spirit. We have quite a few doves around. I think one of the Sunday clubs did those. So there are things all over that tree that remind us not just that Jesus came as a baby at Christmas, but that remind us that he grew up to be our Savior, who died for us on the cross, who rose again to give us hope, and who is with us always in the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us along the way. So it's a very special Christmas tree. And if you haven't realized all the things that are on it before, now is your chance. At the end of the service, why don't you come up and see just what there is on that tree? Because it is special. A boy was born, King of all the world. What does that mean for us? We can lose ourselves in the lovely images of Christmas, spotless stables and animals and a lovely family group, when we do know deep down that the reality would be dark and smelly and dirty out at the back of the inn with the animals. Mary and Joseph had just walked for about 3 days. Mary just had a baby. And the shepherds came straight off the hill, probably adding a few different smells to the mix. But we stick to our favourite Christmas card images and our songs, which give us quite an idealised picture. Some of the songs even tell us that Jesus didn't cry. Now, believe that if you can. They tell us he was meek and mild, gentle, obedient. But that baby had a difficult start to his life. And then his parents had to escape to Egypt with him to avoid Herod's evil intentions. He survived because he was special and God was watching over him. He was special. He was God with a human face. We don't know very much about Jesus growing up, and it's only Luke that tells us anything at all. Luke tells us that when Joseph and Mary returned to Nazareth, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It's good that Luke then tells us a little story which reminds us that Jesus was in some ways just a typical boy, although in other ways we can see that he was somebody special. So today's reading can be found on page 1029 of the Pew Bibles, and Elizabeth's going to read it for us. We read from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41.
Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
How many mums and dads here have thought that they've lost a child at some point? Yes. Yes. I wonder how many of you then found that child perfectly happy, thinking that, you know, wondering why his parents were almost having heart attacks. Then the child gets a row for having been lost, and he doesn't quite know why he's getting the row because he didn't think he was lost. And Jesus was no different. He'd been in Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate the Passover. Good Jews tried to go to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate at least one of the big festivals in the year. And Mary and Joseph went every year for the Passover. In 1 year's time, when Jesus was 13, he would become a full member of the synagogue. So this visit might have been to prepare him for that. It could have been the first time that he'd gone with his parents. Who knows? We know that he certainly kept up the habit in later life because he was celebrating the Passover with his disciples just before his death. So it was about 3 days' travel to get from Jerusalem to Nazareth or the other way on. They'd go in a group because that was safer and because it was much more fun. You had lots of people to talk to. And the women and the children would set off ahead of the men and the older boys. It looks as though Mary probably thought Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph probably thought he was with Mary. You can imagine how they felt when they realized that they'd left him behind, and how long it seemed to take to get back there and to find him. And he was in a very public place, sitting among the teachers in the temple courts, soaking up information, asking lots of questions, like any student of the Jewish faith. And then he got the row from his mother. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And she gets what I always think is quite a sharp reply. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" So Jesus picks up on Mary's words when she said, "Your father and I have been searching for you." He picks up on that and makes it clear that he has another father whose demands must be obeyed. A father with a higher authority. It says Mary and Joseph didn't understand, but it does say that his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Do you remember that the same words as after the shepherd's visit? Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary was getting more and more reason to ponder just who her son was, just who he was going to grow to be. In the temple, when he was 8 days old, she'd heard from Simeon and Anna what they felt about the child. And Simeon had said, "A sword would pierce her soul." Perhaps this little incident with Jesus in the temple at 12 was the first indication that this was so. Jesus would feel the call of his Father in heaven, and they would have to take second place. I really feel for Mary when Jesus says this to her. And it reminds me of later on in his life when somebody said to him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." And Jesus said, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Now, he was focusing on his work for God, on his ministry. He wasn't going to be deflected. But you do feel for Mary, because by that time, she was facing a bit of a divided family, because all Jesus' brothers didn't believe in what he was doing. How much did she understand in the early stages? Did she remember what the angel had said when he told her that she would bear a child? Did she have any idea what it would be like to be the mother of God's Messiah? from Mary, I think we can learn the importance of staying close to God, trusting him, and finding things to treasure and to ponder in our hearts. From all the bits of the Christmas story, there are indications of the love and the constant presence of God for ordinary people. Whether it's the angels watching over Mary and Joseph, the rough shepherds being the first to see the baby, the wise men, people outside the Jewish circle, being led by the star to find their king, Simeon and Anna trusting in God's promises and finding them fulfilled. Any part of that story tells us that God cares about his people. He was prepared to send his son to earth as a human baby for us, for our salvation, to bring us light and life. And this is something to treasure, something to treasure in our hearts, to hold on to think about. We may not fully understand it, but then it's often called a mystery, the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus being born as a human. We wonder about Mary and Joseph's understanding of the situation, but perhaps the most interesting bit of this story is Jesus himself. Is this the day that he really discovered who he was? Did he have a sudden flash of understanding when Mary said that she and his father had been looking for him? Did he suddenly see that the pull he felt to be in the temple was a pull like no other, that he had a father in heaven who needed him to be there? But yet, after all that, he went back to Nazareth, and it says he was obedient to his parents. Being God's son didn't prevent him from being a good son to Mary and Joseph. We learn that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. So Jesus was able to develop as the Son of God at the same time as he developed as the carpenter's son at Nazareth. He fulfills everything God's asking him to do as a youngster, to learn and to grow in his faith and to grow into the son that Mary and Joseph can be proud of. He belonged to an ordinary family. He was part of their lives. They were part of the world that he'd come to save. They were some of the ordinary people living ordinary lives who were the people he came for. So this upbringing helped him in his ministry. He has a clear sense of duty to God to find out all that he can about him. But God is not asking him to do anything special at this time. So he waits for the call to go further. And we can learn from Jesus, even the 12-year-old Jesus. Because even then, he knows the importance of getting his priorities right. Jesus didn't really have a problem when Mary found him. I had to be in my father's house. There was no doubt about it. Jesus always, throughout his whole life, had the ability to focus on God's will for him and to act accordingly. Here are the beginnings of that focus. He knew that this was the right place for him to be. The temple at Jerusalem were where the best teachers were. He could discuss things with them. Jesus knew that God had priority in his life, and yet he was grounded in the world. Being God's son didn't detach him from the world that he lived in. So, from Mary, we learn to treasure things and ponder them in our hearts. And from Jesus, we learn to get our priorities right. We have to keep God at the center. But like Jesus, we have to be grounded in the world that we live in. We have a Heavenly Father who asks certain things of us. But we also have earthly families and neighbors. Being Christians doesn't detach us from the world that we live in. At Christmas, we have a baby in a manger whom we know will grow to be our Savior and our King. How are we to make sense of this? How are we to understand with our common sense, logical minds, how this child can possibly be the maker and the savior of the world, as well as being a young boy growing up to learn his father's trade? This is part of the wonder of Christmas. If we understood it all, there wouldn't be any wonder. When Jesus was older and teaching the crowds, he said to them that we had to be like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And one thing that children have is wonder. And perhaps that's something, as we get older and more cynical, that we can lose. But we need to find it again. Because the Christmas story has wonder in abundance. The wonder of God's love for us. The wonder of God come to earth in a baby, a human baby. The wonder of a child growing up to be our Savior and our Lord. God is truly wonderful. And don't let's lose the wonder of that.